This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you and your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Tennessee Turfgrass Association. This episode is sponsored in part by BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. This episode features an article titled, Market Research Explores Consideration Among Decision Makers in Choosing Playing Surfaces, written by Casey Reynolds, PhD, Executive Director of Turfgrass Producers International. College and professional football season are upon us, and sports fans can feel the excitement in the air. As always, preseason polls, national championship predictions, and other team chatter is in the news. But also making headlines this year are several recent retirements of prominent football players, citing, in part, concerns over their long-term safety and health. The safety and health of athletes is and should be a top priority for leagues, coaches, parents, and others. However, what other factors are considered when installing new athletic fields? Is it maintenance, costs, environment, or other factors? Is it all of the above? If so, which factors play most heavily in these decisions? This was the topic of research targeted in recent market research conducted in 2018 in the United States and Canada. Six companies submitted proposals for this market research, and Fleshman Hillard, a global PR firm and digital marketing agency based in St. Louis, Missouri, was selected as the winning proposal. Fleshman Hillard is an internationally recognized PR firm that was founded in 1946 that represents businesses including Barnes & Noble, Procter & Gamble, General Motors, Energizer, EA Sports, and more. They have over 80 offices in 30 countries and as such are able to reach audiences domestically and internationally. First, Fleshman Hillard analyzed the current state of affairs in print and social media with regard to natural grass and synthetic turf. Natural grass proponents and synthetic turf companies tout many of the same benefits, including cost, environmental impact, durability, and safety, many of consumers' major concerns. They also analyzed the share of each group's voice in digital media, as well as the positive, neutral, and negative perceptions by subject for natural grass and artificial turf. One of the key items that jumped out was that it appears natural grass fields are taken for granted. There are fewer arguments for natural grass rather than against artificial turf because natural grass is the default position. Artificial turf often gets more coverage and has non-neutral articles, in part simply because it is new and debated. In addition to an analysis of print and digital media, Fleshman Hillard surveyed 141 decision makers, including coaches, athletic directors, city employees, and others, in the United States and Canada, to get an idea of what they determined as motivating factors when selecting new playing surfaces for their communities. These respondents were presented with a series of statements revolving around considerations of various playing surfaces and asked for their feedback. Their knowledge and responses to these statements were then compiled for analysis to determine the many factors that go into deciding between natural grass or synthetic turf athletic fields, mulch or rubber playground surfaces, and more. As you can imagine, the safety and health of users was a top response. There are many factors that contribute to the safety of various types of playing surfaces, including but not limited to construction and management practices, heat, surface hardness, consistency, others, and even footwear. There are many types of playing surfaces that each have a role in communities everywhere. For example, a playground at a child's daycare center in the southern U.S. may be more concerned about heat loading than a multi-use event complex in the Pacific Northwest. Inversely, a collegiate or professional soccer or football complex may be more concerned about traction or footing than an outdoor concert venue. As you can imagine, Each of these types of venues lend themselves to different playing surfaces and management techniques, but a common theme throughout each of them is user safety. Field safety has long been a research topic among the scientific and medical professions, and there have been many research papers published in academic journals citing varying differences in surface types. Many of these studies use some type of injury surveillance reporting system to seek out and analyze trends and injuries in different playing surfaces. For example, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA, has collected injury data through their Injury Surveillance System, or ISS, since 1982. The National Football League, NFL, has recorded and reported injuries using a similar system since 1980. These types of injury recording systems are capable of capturing data on injury type, weather conditions, playing surface, athlete exposures, and more. These reporting systems allow medical trainers and researchers to access and analyze vast sets of comprehensive data over extended periods of time. Two papers that have been recently published in the American Journal of Sports Medicine focus on injury data analysis from the National Football League and the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Previous research has revealed that football cleats interact differently on synthetic and natural turf, which may lead to a different risk of injury. Divots, when a cleat creates a hole in the field, signal that the grass has absorbed force from the cleat and released the cleat back again, rather than capturing the cleat and releasing the force through a player's foot, ankle, or knee, which could cause injury. Since cleats can easily create divots on natural grass, less force is placed on the lower body, which may help prevent injury. Data for the NFL study came from the analysis of all 1,280 NFL regular season games and 213,935 distinct plays from 2012 through 2016, 555 of which were on synthetic turf and 725 on natural grass. All 32 NFL teams reported injuries through an electronic health record system, and each injury report gives full details of the injury and circumstance, such as the contact, impact, activity, time lost, game day weather, and surface type and conditions. The researchers then examined all cases of lower body injuries along two outcomes, any time loss and greater than 8 days of time loss. They also examined the rates of contact-related injuries and non-contact-related injuries, since non-contact injuries are more likely to be related to the playing surface. A total of 4,801 lower body injuries occurred from 2012 to 2016, affecting 2,032 players. Play on synthetic turf had a 16% higher rate of lower body injuries than on natural grass. This included contact and non-contact that resulted in any time loss. For non-contact injuries, synthetic turf injury rates were 27% higher than injury rates on natural grass. However, when examining non-contact knee, ankle, and foot injuries, play on synthetic turf had a 56% higher rate of injuries resulting in any time loss and a 67% higher rate of injuries resulting in more than 8 days of time loss. The greatest difference in non-contact injury rates between synthetic and natural turf were to the ankle. Synthetic turf resulted in a 68% higher rate of injuries resulting in any time loss and a 103% higher rate of injuries resulting in more than 8 days of time loss. In the NCAA research, there were a total of 3,009,205 athlete exposures and 2,460 knee ligament and meniscal tears reported by the NCAA Injury Surveillance System throughout the 2004 to 2005 to 2013 to 2014 NCAA playing seasons. Injury rates for all knee ligament and meniscal tears examined during this period were higher during competitions than in practices. Analysis of this data indicate a significantly increased rate of posterior cruciate ligament, or PCL, and anterior cruciate ligament, or ACL, on artificial turf compared to natural grass during competitive events. Although there were no differences in rate of medial collateral ligament, MCL, medial meniscal, or lateral meniscal injuries. Specifically, athletes in Division I competitions experienced PCL tears at 2.99 times the rate on artificial turf, a 199% increase, as they did on natural grass. Division II and III athletes experience ACL tears at 1.63 times the rate of those playing on natural grass, and 3.13 times the number of PCL tears as those playing on natural grass. This equates to a 63% increase in ACL tears and a 213% increase in PCL tears to Division II and III football players on artificial turf. Furthermore, the rate of PCL tears during competition in all divisions on artificial turf was 2.94 times higher, a 194% increase, than on natural grass. The research and scientific communities will undoubtedly continue to investigate injuries among athletes, causal mechanisms, relationships between cleats and playing surfaces, and more. More information on each of these two studies can be found in the original research manuscripts. You can also visit www.turfgrasssod.org/resources. For all photos and figures associated with this article, check out our show notes. And don't miss an episode. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. Thank you to our sponsors, including BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.